here, so he's practiced test running back there, and so bear with me if you would. Want to kind of pick up a little bit where we left off this morning, in a sense, and what I want to show you is the difference between the second advent and the rapture, okay? I want to show you the passages that make it clear, because I'm seeing more and more of this, and as I told you earlier, it disturbs me when I see it from Bible-believing people that believe the Bible is the Word of God, that understand sound doctrine, and then as time goes on and, you know, the Lord didn't come back when they prophesied, you know, 88 reasons and 88 and whatever else they do, and they make all these prophecies about, you know, and it doesn't happen, right? So they start getting like, well, maybe we were wrong. Start second-guessing their doctrine. We were just talking before service started with Brother Harris, and it was like, you notice the debacle going on with the Catholic Church, you know? Supposedly a priest had been using the wrong wording or something in all the baptisms, and now there's all these people panicking about whether or not they're even going to heaven, you know? Folks, that kind of fickleness is what I don't want to be. I don't want to see. I want my feet on a rock. And I told them, I said, they're on one end of the spectrum and I'm on the other. You know, the world could burn down around me. I say, I don't care. I don't believe it. And it's not happening that way. You know, the Bible says that's that, you know. I'm not changing my doctrine just because of circumstances. I mean, it's just ridiculous because it's 2000 and they thought the Lord was already going to come. You know, remember the panic of Y2K? I mean, you guys remember Y2K? The whole world lost their stinking minds, man. And then they start doing the same thing with coronavirus. And then they're doing the same thing already with, you know, Russia. Listen, what's happening in Russia is tragic. It's as tragic as, or not yet, but it could get as tragic as what happened with the Nazis, with Hitler, to the Jews. It's horrible. I mean, I wish we'd go over there and just stink and obliterate Russia. By the way, can I just kind of calm, you know, to me this is calming. Maybe I'm wrong, maybe I'm right. But here's the deal. You know what shocks me? Everybody's so afraid of Russia, and here they are going after this baby country that's been around for 30 years, and they're having all kinds of trouble. What are you so scared of, man? If we went over there, we'd steamroll those suckers in 2 weeks if I was your president. Amen. But anyways, I'm not, so I digress. That to me is like, people get all stinking frothed up and emotional, right? Emotional deception. And so then because of their emotions, they start rethinking doctrine. Well, my doctrine hasn't changed, and that's because the Bible hasn't changed, and God gave me some good men in my life that believed the Bible was the Word of God. They believed every word of the Bible, and they studied to show themselves approved unto God, and they studied the way God said to study, which was rightly dividing the Word of truth, and here a little, there a little, Scripture with Scripture, not privately interpreting passages, but using very clear passages to clarify the unclear passages, right? I'm not going to stand before you and say there's no unclear passages in the Bible, and if you don't understand it, it's because you're an idiot and you don't really believe the Bible. There are some really hard passages. There's some tough stuff in there. I mean, Daniel gets just way over everybody's head, you know, which is interesting to me that it's very possible when Jesus Christ comes back and puts his feet down, he's got a book in his hand. It calls it a little book. And it's very, very possible, nobody says dogmatically, but it's very possible that's the book of Daniel. Because he said, lock it up and seal it up till the end. And then we sit here thinking, well, what about, you know, I mean, if we can't understand all the Bible, then okay, you're going to throw it all out because God said, here, I'm going to put it in here, but I'm not going to let anybody really see it all until I'm ready for them to see it all. To me, that's exciting. You mean there's stuff in the Bible I don't know yet? Yes, there's stuff in the Bible I don't know yet. That's a blessing. So what I want to look at tonight, this afternoon, is I want to show you, and we're going to turn to the passages that deal with the rapture, versus the passages that deal with the second advent. And I'm going to show you the very clear differences because I want you to understand that you're looking for your blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. You're not going into the great tribulation. You're going to be gone. God's going to take his bride out before he unleashes Lucifer on the planet and lets him have at it. We're going to be gone. And we believe that because the Bible teaches it. But I'm going to show you why it can be confusing and why people don't understand it. But before we do that, because we have a wonderfully wide variety of people in the building, okay? Can everybody see the board good enough? Even you folks over here? Pardon? Yeah, this way? Okay. Does it lock down there? It's a brand new board. I just got to figure out how to use it. No? Okay. That probably messes these guys up. Does that mess you guys up in the back? They're talking. Rob, does that mess you guys up? No? You like it on this side or move it over? Better here? Okay. All right, so we have a wonderfully wide variety of people here. We have people who have been saved for years and, you know all this stuff already. And then we have people that, like, when does the New Testament start? Which is a common question we've dealt with quite a bit. What you have to understand is that a testament is not of force until the death of a testator. That's told, clarified to you in the book of Hebrews. So when you're flipping through your Bible, you get to the end of the Old Testament, and then there's a page in there that says the New Testament, right? And people think that's when the New Testament starts, so they try to take everything in Matthew, Mark, and Luke and apply it to us. And that won't work. And I mean, this thing goes, there's so many layers to this. I'll just suggest this just so you know, but we're not going to try to cover it. There's transition portions where you got them a little bit under this, but they're transitioning into that. And so the book of Acts is a transition book. I know people that base their New Testament government or church doctrine on the book of Acts, which is so dangerous. They didn't even figure out what their doctrine was until Acts chapter 15. They didn't even know they were a church or what we're supposed to do as a church. They're like, hey, it's not meat that we leave the word of God to serve tables. And they're having to figure things out. Acts is a history book. It's the Acts of the apostles, not the Acts of the local church. So it's showing you what God did with the apostles in the apostles' life. Does that make sense? And in the early church, the development and the process that went into place while they were figuring out they're in a New Testament. They're figuring out they're abstained from fornication, things strangled in blood, and that's the only rules they were under. Does that make sense to you? So that you got to pay attention when you read your Bible, and you can't say everything applies to me or you're going to completely be a total soup sandwich. You'll stop believing the Bible before long because it contradicts itself, which it doesn't. So you have your Old Testament. Christ comes, he dies on the cross of Calvary, he's buried, he rises again the third day, right? I put the lion for the New Testament right here by the cross just to illustrate to you, the New Testament did not become a force until the death of the testator, till Christ died, okay? So now we have the New Testament period, and this is where you're going to find Paul's books. Paul is the apostle to the Gentiles. So that's his office. Paul's books fit right here, okay? And that's where you're going to get your doctrine from. What do you believe and why? You get it from Paul. That doesn't mean we throw everything else out. What's going to happen, and we'll look at these verses and I'll show you, is that when God's done with the church, when he's done with this period we're in, he's going to rapture us up. What happens here is while we're in heaven, the tribulation period's going on down here. So the marriage supper of the Lamb. Listen, if you can't follow all this, just grab the pieces that you can. Please try to get the basics. Just stay with me on the basics, and then some of this other stuff will click with time. You got the marriage supper of the Lamb, the judgment seat of Jesus Christ. That's taking place up here, while down here, the tribulation period is going on. All right? And there's a lot of passages in your Bible that deal with that, and the books that you're going to have that will really explain this doctrine to you is Hebrews, and it runs up and bumps into Revelation. So Hebrews, you know, kind of ending with Jude. Revelation deals with, kind of overlaps the tribulation and goes on into eternity future. After the tribulation, we have the millennial kingdom. And that's where Jesus Christ rules and reigns for 1,000 years on this planet. And then after that is eternity future. I just put an E there for that. That's eternity future. All that's in your Bible. Even in the end of Revelation talks about this. So you can't apply this to you and me. Right? We know this is coming, but this doesn't apply right now. So what's going to happen is this rapture is going to take place before the great tribulation on earth kicks in. Hebrews, James, 1st and 2nd Peter, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, Jude, doctrinally are going to apply right here in the tribulation period. Okay? That's why in the book of Hebrews, it talks about not treading again the blood wherewith he was sanctified, counting it an unholy thing, do it despite unto the spirit of grace. It talks about not being able to find repentance, though you sought it carefully with tears. And it's like, whoa, man, if a guy backslides, he's just done. I mean, this is crazy. You can lose your salvation. Yes, these people can, but not here. You're circumcised with a circumcision made without hands. You're sealed with the Spirit. You're in his body. You're his bride. What he has promised, he's able also to perform. He's going to keep you saved. So what I want you to understand is the differences in the passages between the rapture and the second advent, all right? So I'm going to erase some of this to make, you know what, I'm just going to flip it over. The differences between the rapture and the second advent. So grab your Bibles and go with me, first of all, to John chapter number 14. John chapter 14. And then if we get through this, I'll try to move quick enough, and if we can, I can open up for questions if you want. So John chapter 14. In the rapture, what I want you to see from that one is that Jesus Christ comes alone. Okay? He's the one that comes. Trying to write neatly. I'm not artistic and I don't write well, so I'm doing my best. So in the rapture, Jesus Christ comes alone. Look at John chapter 14. Look at verses 1 through 3. Brother King, would you read verses 1 through 3, please? You read 13? 14, 1 through 3. That's okay. I'm like, whoa, man, I got a typo here. I trusted you that much. I'm like, I got a typo here. You're like, okay, preacher, whatever. Man, he can make anything fit, can't he? Yes, John 14, 1 through 3. Jesus says, I go, thank you, that was it. I go, I will come, right? He's coming alone. Look at Matthew 25, 31. Brian, would you read that one, please? 25, 31. Wait, what? And? Oh, that's not the same. Because on this one, he comes alone, right? On this one, he comes with all the holy angels. They're not the same coming. See the difference? Okay, good enough. Next one. Luke, would you grab 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse number 16? And then, Brother Harris, would you grab Jude verse 14, please? Go ahead, Luke, if you're ready. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16. All right, so in this one, Jude 14, he comes with his saints. Look back at Luke's again. That's Jude verse 14. At Luke's in 2 Thessalonians verse 4, chapter 4, verse 16, he comes for his saints. Do you see the difference? Luke, read that one again. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. First of all, the Lord himself, right? Shall descend from heaven with a shout. Go ahead, brother. Look at verse 17. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. See that? And so shall we ever be with the Lord. So in this one, it's he comes for the saints. That's verses 16 and 17. 1 Thessalonians 4, 16 and 17. You see the difference? It's very important to notice these differences. So here he's coming for the saints, right? And he catches us up. The dead in Christ rise first. He comes alone. The dead in Christ go, then we go. That's not the same as the Lord coming with his saints in Jude 14, but for some reason they'll tell you that it is. Why? In Jude 14, he comes with his saints. We come back with him at the second advent. You and I are with him when he comes. You understand that? That's different. So he comes for us here alone by himself, but when he comes back, we come back with him to help the battle Armageddon. We set up that whole, you know, going into the kingdom, the whole nine yards. We're coming back with the Lord right at that time. This is totally different. These two things are not the same, folks, but they're both taught in your Bible, and these yahoos will try to make them the same. They're idiots. They're not reading. They're getting emotional. They're not letting the Bible say what it says and format their opinion of what's happening in the world based on what the Bible says. Another one. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Dan, can you read 1 Corinthians 15, 51? And Kelly, would you grab Zechariah 14, verse 4? 1 Corinthians 15, 51. I want you to notice on this one that it's a mystery. See, I show you a what? Oh. So they say, well, there's no word rapture anywhere in the Bible. That's one of the arguments you're going to hear if you click on these things and listen to these yahoos. And I'm being mean, and I'm sorry, but I'm being mean because it makes me mad. Well, the word rapture never appears in the Bible. So then you go, oh, it doesn't. Hey, Pastor, where's the rapture in the Bible? And so I take you over here and I start showing you these verses and explaining it to you. And you go, yeah, but where's the word rapture? You know what they did? They got you. It's a trick of the trade. Oh, well, if the word rapture isn't in the Bible, then why do we call it a rapture? Well, the same reason they call the resurrection a resurrection in the Old Testament. But the word resurrection never appears in the Old Testament. Did you know that? You know, when God gave us the New Testament, you know what he did? He put the word rapture, a resurrection in there. They understood clearly the doctrine of the resurrection because in the New Testament, when Jesus Christ is on the earth, oh Lord, we know the resurrection in the last days. They understood the doctrine and the teaching of the resurrection because the doctrine was taught in the Old Testament. They never used the word. So that argument to say, well, the word rapture doesn't appear in the New Testament doesn't mean anything if the doctrine's still taught. You call it whatever you want. The catching away, you call it whatever you want. But we've called it a rapture for a long time, and that's what it is because we're getting caught up. That's what a rapture means. So it's a mystery. Ah, see, everybody wants a sign. Everybody wants to read the news. Everybody wants to just get their talons sunk into 1948. And I said this morning, and I'm going to reiterate, it's possible. And I do know that we do see what's happening in the world, and we see that everybody gets hung up on Bible prophecy being fulfilled. Bible prophecy, so much of the Bible prophecies have not, most of the Bible prophecies have not yet been fulfilled. They're going to get fulfilled here and here. We're not looking for Bible prophecies to be fulfilled here. We have so much back here that was already fulfilled in Jesus Christ, that was already proven. You've got so much that you have to not want to believe or be completely uneducated about the Bible to reject the Bible. We have enough prophecies already fulfilled, but the majority of Bible prophecies have yet to be fulfilled. But everybody's stuck on it here. And I don't understand why. We're not told to look for a sign. You know why you don't need a sign? Because you got a Savior. You know what happened to you when you got saved. You know what happens to you when you try to walk away from Him. You know the addiction you start getting to the Bible. We were talking downstairs, like the more I learn, the more exciting this thing gets, me and Brother Pryor. That's just a lot to learn, and it's, you know, I got a lot of questions, but the more I do this, the more interesting it gets. It gets better, man. I mean, we got a book that was been given to us. I don't understand why the obsession with signs. Again, when I study my Bible, he could have come back in Acts chapter 7. What you're living in, you know what you're living in? You're living in plan B. You're only here because the Jews rejected in the book of Acts. If they had accepted, we wouldn't be here right now. Now, how about that? And so God pulls Paul aside and he says, all right, I'm going to give you the mystery of the church. That's another mystery. That now when we look back at the Old Testament, we can kind of like, oh, wow, I see where that fits and how God did all that. But you're living in a mystery. And the end of it is a mystery. And he made it clear that it's a mystery. And he tells us what we're looking for. But the problem is most people don't believe the Bible or study the Bible enough to go, okay, I see that mystery because it's pretty clearly explained and clearly taught. This one's a mystery. The second advent is not a mystery. It was prophesied. That's why it's so easy for these guys that don't study their Bible and don't rightly divide to kick out the rapture because it's a mystery and to accept that, oh, we believe in the post-millennial return of Jesus Christ, or we're all millennialists. We just believe we're kind of bringing in the kingdom. He's not really going to come back. The kingdom is already here, which is the Roman Catholic position, which circles me back to this morning when I said they want you to believe Revelation was written around 70 AD so that they can plug Titus in to the fulfillment of this prophecy and they can make all this stuff be passed. You following me? So they're the kingdom. In other words, the Pope is sitting there as Jesus on earth and the kingdom is here. Does that make more sense? Probably confused you to death this morning, but I wasn't trying to. It's just a lot of information and it's, well, you know, hard to lay it out sometimes. But that's the point. So they want to believe it already passed. Well, that's not the case because this second advent was clearly prophesied about. Who has Zechariah 14? That's Kelly. Zechariah 14, verse 4, please. Yes, sir. That's what I talked about this morning. See how it splits? If you look at the verse, you can see it splits from east to west, and half of it falls to the north, and half of it falls to the south. That thing was prophesied. That's not a mystery. Everybody knows it's coming. The Jews are still waiting for Jesus to come back. They're still looking to see these things fulfilled. I don't know which I got. Is that Z-A or Z-E? Z-E? Yeah, okay. All right, next one. This one's personal. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 16 and 17. Brother Doug Bema, if you grab 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 16 and 17. And Todd, if you'd grab Revelation chapter 1, you're going to read verse 7. So 1 Thessalonians 4, 16 and 17. This first coming, this rapture here, excuse me, this rapture is personal. So that's what we already covered a little bit ago. That's personal. That's him coming for you and me. That's us getting caught up in the air. That is our rapture. That's going to happen before the tribulation starts. Todd, if you'll read Revelation 1, verse 7, please. Every eye shall see him. That's totally different than this one. We're getting caught up. We're changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Bam! That fast, just blink. I mean, you realize you blink and don't even know you're blinking? I'm not afraid of the rapture. I believe we're all going to hear our name. If you're born again, I think it's going to be a trumpet. And I think when you study the voice of God, I think what the world's going to hear is thunder. And the whole world's going to believe a great lie. Now, a long time ago, we could be like, wow, I just wonder how they're going to do that. Nowadays, there's no question. This whole thing is being primed and set up and prepared, which is why I'm saying it's possible that, you know, the ingathering of Israel and all that stuff and this generation is going to see it. That's possible. But either way, we know and we can see right now how easy it would be to send a lie and people will believe it. They'll believe it. They'll believe it. Listen, if God waits 20 more years, some of these little kids, they believe stuff. They don't validate it. They don't even know how to research. Give me your source references. What's a source reference? What's truth? They don't even know how to research it. They see it, they repeat it. Oh, that's good, post, that's good, post, that's good, repost, that's good, repost. Did you hear? Did you know? Did you see? You know how easy it's going to be? The whole, folks, this isn't just the U.S. You know what blew my mind? I went to Haiti on a missions trip. Poorest country in the Western Hemisphere, right? Everybody. People don't even have food and water or a house to live in. Everybody had a cell phone in their hands. It absolutely blew my mind. Like, how do they get these? All the ones you guys turn in when you get your new phone, they refurbish them and sell them. And everybody, the whole world, nobody thinks anymore. These children are being raised on technology. Their brains don't even process things properly. That's not me making it up. There's proof. Their brains don't even process information the right way. Oh, the whole world's going to easily believe a lie. You're going to disappear. It's going to be the beginning of the end. That's when the beginning of sorrows, so much is going to happen. You're going to be forgotten. When millions disappear, you're going to be forgotten so fast. And by the way, we're a smaller and smaller and smaller group anyways. We're not going to make that big of a dent. He is going to come and personally get us out of here, and that's going to be a quiet return, not to you and me. It's going to be like pretty life-changing, literally. Swallowed up a life. Man, that's great. You guys don't have to fear that. You little kids do not have to be afraid. If you're saved, if you've trusted Christ as your Savior, you don't have to be afraid of a rapture. We were talking the other day, where she at? In the nursery? Anna? The nursery? Oh, the teens. I forgot the teens are downstairs. We started that a couple weeks ago. Anyways, we were talking at dinner, and she said, I remember when we were little, we'd sit in the car, and I would be paranoid because you guys would be taking so long in church, because when we got tired of them, we put them in the car. You know what I mean? It got loud, you know, at the end of the day, and they're running around all the time. And so we were just like, enough's enough. Go, you know, put them in the car, and then we could actually have an adult conversation. So they're sitting in the car, and she said, I'd start getting scared when it took too long. I thought the rapture came and you left us. So I'd start crying, and she'd get all the rest of the girls crying. Well, one of the other girls crying, and yeah, the oldest and the youngest are a lot alike, you know, and the two in the middle would make fun of them. But she said, I was waiting to see you guys walk by the window to make sure that you were still here, you know. But listen, you kids don't have to be afraid. If you're saved, it's going to be a wonderful thing. It's so much better than dying. In the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, you're going to be with the Lord. And man, I can't even describe to you how great it is. You think about your greatest possible thing that could ever happen to you. I mean, whatever your biggest dream is, like, oh, if this had happened, it'd be the best day of my life. And when this happens, it's going to be better than what you could even possibly imagine. You don't have to be afraid. This one's personal. It's for me and you. This one's public. The whole world sees him coming. You guys see how they can't be the same thing? They're two different things. Very clearly two different things. All right, just a couple more. This one's going to be in the air, the rapture. We just saw that in 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 16 and 17, so we don't have to look at it again. But this one's in the air. This one, Jesus Christ touches down. And that is going to be Revelation 19. We can show that one. Also Zechariah 14, but Revelation 19. I didn't put the verse down. Don't worry, I'm the only one that uses this. I think. Hopefully there's no coronavirus on it. Look at verse 11, Revelation 19, 11. Brother Mark, would you read that, please? 19, 11, yeah. Keep reading, brother. Okay. Sorry. I'll keep reading for you. I'm not sure where I want to stop on this one. I think 16. His eyes were as a flame of fire. On his head were many crowns. He had a name written which no man knew but he himself. He is clothed in a vesture dipped in blood. His name is called the Word of God. Now watch. The armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. See that? Remember how I already showed you that this one, he comes with saints, right? It's the same one. It's visible. He's coming back with armies following him. We're in that crew. We get called up. we deal with what we need to deal with in heaven, the marriage supper of the Lamb, the judgment seat. We're coming back with him. That's the second advent. They all see him. Folks, that's going to be pretty cool. I mean, I'm getting a little older, so I'm not quite as bad about it, but a piece of me, man, heard that Ukrainian president say, we welcome anybody who wants to come and join us from anywhere in the world. And I thought, man, if I wasn't married, didn't have kids, wasn't a pastor, was just sort of jaded and frustrated with life, you know, and just, because I mean, man, when there's you ladies probably can't understand this, but when there's a real cause, and you see a guy saying, I'll blow myself up to keep him from coming over here, and you see the president of the country saying, I'm putting down my microphone and grabbing my AK and going out in the street, man, that's a guy I could follow. You understand what I'm saying? I mean, if I just hated everything and didn't care whether I lived or died, I'd be on a plane, man. I just a piece of me. I mean, I remember Desert Storm when I was a kid. I would lay on my belly in the living room in front of the radio and just listen. And they were talking about the tanks rolling through and how we were just man. It was that was cool. That was back when we fought and meant it, you know. That to me, I was so mad when I heard how fast we were plowing through them. They didn't have a chance with us. I was so upset because I thought, man, I only got a couple more years and I can go. I hope this thing drags on. Now, that's a very immature perspective, but you understand what I'm saying? Like a desire to get behind a good cause and fight for it? You should have a little bit of that in your gut somewhere. I know nowadays men aren't really men anymore, but you know what? You ought to have some of that in your guts. We're going to get that. And you know what? It's pretty cool because if we fall on the sword, we'll just pull it out and keep going. You won't be able to get hurt. That's going to be neat, man. All right, a couple more. No signs in 1 Corinthians 15:51. I don't know where I stopped off. Jesse, grab 1 Corinthians 15:51. And then Rob, grab Matthew 24:30, please. 1 Corinthians 15:51, Jesse. I think I picked on Rob for 1 Corinthians 15:51. So what I want you to see in 1 Corinthians 15:51 is that there's no signs associated with the rapture. Now that ties into this morning, what we were saying this morning. Well, go ahead and read it whenever you're ready, brother.
Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed.
And that's not just a verse for the nursery. Ha ha ha. Oh, that's an old joke. I thought enough of you were new to get that, but you probably already heard it. So there's no signs. We shall not all sleep. Was that the whole verse, brother?
Yeah.
But we shall all be changed in the moment. That's the next one then. In the twinkling of an eye, right?
Yeah.
At the last trump. Trumpet shall sound, the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Where's the warning? I heard one preacher say, I think the Lord will give a little bit of a warning. I think we'll know somehow. And I guess anything's possible, but I don't really see a lot of evidence on that in the Scripture. Well, you wouldn't just walk into your bride and just be like, all right, it's time to get married. You give her time to get ready, and he's been giving her time to get ready. I don't see a whole lot of credit for that. I think there's no sign at all before the rapture. Well, the temple has to be rebuilt. We're looking for the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet in the temple. And, well, I mentioned to you this morning, and it's in 1 Samuel, I think it's chapter 1, verse 9. I think Eli's sitting at the post of the temple. So God uses the word temple for tabernacle, and he uses them interchangeably. Ah, see a King James Bible. The new Bibles will correct that. They'll make sure that when they write their new Bible, that you can name whatever new Bible, and you're going to find some of them will get it, some of them won't. And it depends on what passage they're in. They're not all consistent. They're very inconsistent, to be honest with you. They have to make a certain amount of changes. You can't copyright it and make money on it unless you make a certain, there's required when they, if oh, a new translation is coming out. So, okay, great. You want to get it, it's a free country, but you're buying garbage because they're forced to make a certain amount of changes in order to copyright it and make the money. If they don't copyright it, it's just plagiarism. So they look for changes so that they can make money because the Bible is the number one best-selling book. They're crooks. Oh, the temple wasn't built yet. King James Bible's in error. It says temple. You better not mess with it. Because what if that right there is a hint to you and I that, wait a second, well, the temple hasn't been built. It's going to take them a long time to do that. When we see the temple, when we see the things squaring up over there, then we'll know. Garbage. 1948, garbage. You better be real careful. I'm not saying we don't see some stuff happening that really makes us think it's getting close, right? I'm not saying that. I'm not saying it's not possible. Did I say it all this morning? It's not possible that 1948... I didn't say that. I just said, doctrinally, when I study the scriptures, I'm real careful about going there. I don't think there's any signs at all associated with the rapture. I think you're told to watch. I think you're told to look for the blessed hope. I think you're already told how to live, what God wants from you, and you're supposed to be doing what you're supposed to do and be ready for Him. Like I prayed this morning, plan like you're going to die of old age, okay? I didn't say go cash in your 401k and give it to the church for the building program and refinance and pull out all the equity in your house and, you know, give it to the church. That's a cult. See what happens, folks? Do you see what they do? They use the Bible and they manipulate people, and you get a cult. You get a bunch of people selling everything and moving out in the mountains because Jesus is coming, because Russia, Gog and Magog, coronavirus, they'll do this stuff. They've been doing it on Moonies and all the rest of that stuff they've been doing. They manipulate the truth to get people's money and more. Money and morals always go together, and you'll notice that they're always got those problems too, but I digress. So you're not supposed to be, I'm playing like you're going to die of old age, but live like He's coming back right now. Today is the day. Live like that, and then you'll be fine. No problem at all. All right? But there's signs associated with the second advent. Matthew 24:30. Who has that? Was that Rob?
And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory.
That was Matthew 24:30. See the signs? I mean, with the second advent, they're going to know He's coming. The Jews are being told what's going to happen to them. Matthew 24 is all about the tribulation. Wars and rumors of war, brothers. Famines in diverse places, brother. Oh, the fig tree, brother. Israel 1948, brother. Like, whoa, man, slow down. I mean, I know all that's in the Bible, but all that is talking about the tribulation period and what's going to happen at that time. Do you hear how many people died? Do you hear about the earthquake? Slow down. You know how many people have been dying over the centuries? You know how many wars have wiped out massive, massive amounts of people? You know how many plagues there have been that wiped out massive amounts of people? Come on, think a little bit. Don't run on emotion. Like I said this morning, the devil will deceive you spiritually. He'll deceive you emotionally. Watch out for your emotions. They're going to have signs. If they don't have the mark, they're running for their life because they're going to be killed. And the temple's built or set up. Whether it's a curtain temple or not, it's built or set up. Whether it's the current place over there or not, it's set up. And the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet walks in there, and he gets rid of the proper sacrifices that are supposed to be given, and he's bringing in believers and slaughtering them at the altar. They're going to know, folks. They're not going to be wondering, is that it? Does that fit? I wonder if that's it. Is that it? No way, man. When it happens, they're absolutely going to know for sure, and they're told, he that endureth to the end shall be saved. How are they going to know which ones are? The believers aren't going to have the mark. They're not going to take the mark. Some of them are going to have the seal of God on their foreheads. They're going to know who's who. It's going to be pretty clear who's who in the tribulation period. Brother's going to betray brother because people are going to get wore out, which is the third point I never got to this morning. The way a devil will deceive you is by spiritual exhaustion. He'll wear you out. And that exhaustion is dangerous because when you get tired, you'll crack. What is it? The fatigue is the mother of cowardice or something like that. You guys remember what that thing is? It makes a coward of us all. Wearing you out. The devil seeks to wear out the saints. What he's going to be doing in the tribulation period is wearing them out. They're starving. They're running for their life. There's supernatural locusts flying around. They're just getting tired, and they start saying, where's the promise of His coming? I didn't think it was going to go on this long. After a few years, folks, people adapt. Do you understand how quickly people adapt? I mean, unbelievable tragedy can hit them, and within a year, they're already accustomed to the new life. It's wild to watch. You could come in with Russia and just plow that city down, and those people are all a mess right now. My heart breaks for them. I'd love to go over there and help them shoot some people. You know what I mean? I mean, it just kills me. But it's shocking to see, if you give it some time, how quickly they rebuild. Long as the world gets a backbone and goes in there and gets him out of there, they'd rebuild and go on. People forget very quickly. Human beings have short memories. In the tribulation period, a lot of those Jews are going to be going, you know what? I didn't think it was going to go this long. This doesn't make any sense. Whatever. I got to feed my family. They're going to get the mark. Part of the deal will be, hey, you need to tell us where those guys are gathering at. Well, they're meeting over there at the Moon Shadow subdivision, Reagan's house. Brother betraying brother. That's in Matthew chapter 24. And so all of a sudden they're rolling in here, kicking my front door open, grabbing me and the family, hauling us off, cutting our heads off. Why? Because they're worshiping Jesus Christ, because they won't take the mark. They won't worship the beast. Brother betraying brother. Well, we see some of that happening in human character right now as we fall farther and farther away from the Lord and away from the Bible, and you see it in human nature, but not like you're going to see it in the tribulation period. You're going to know. They're going to know, folks. They're going to know he's coming. And that's why he says, endure to the end. It's in Matthew 24. We may see it next Sunday. I haven't gotten ready yet for the next chapter, but we may see it next Sunday. They lose their salvation if they give a brother a cold cup of cold water in Jesus' name. How have we done it to you? You did it unto the least of these. You done it unto me. How? Well, they were hungry and you fed them. They were naked and you clothed them. They were thirsty and you gave them drink. And if you don't, in the tribulation period, if they don't stick together and take care of each other, they'll lose their salvation. It's faith and works. They get signs at the second advent. You and I don't get a sign in 1 Corinthians. Where does it show you a sign? Ain't no signs. You're just looking for the trump. This one, go to Titus chapter 2. Jim Richardson, would you grab Titus 2? And I'm going to have you read verse number 13. And Brother Mike, would you grab 2 Thessalonians chapter 1? You'll read verses 7 to 9. So Brother Jim, Titus 2:13. You see in Titus 2, it's our blessed hope. That's what it's referred to. 2:13, brother.
Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ.
It's called the blessed hope, right? Well, look at 2 Thessalonians 1, verses 7 through 9. You got that, Mike? Skip down to brother 7 there, brother. Skip down to brother 7, verse number 7. 7, 8, and 9. Perfect, thank you. So you'll notice the difference. The blessed hope is Titus 2:13. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, right? Man, that's a blessing. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 7 through 9, he ain't coming to be a blessing. You know what he's coming to do? Take vengeance. He's fed up. His bucket's full. He says he's going to be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, not alone, with the angels. More than once it's reiterated with the saints. More than once it's reiterated. Folks, they can't possibly be the same. One is a rapture of the church. The other one is the second advent of Jesus Christ. So this one is what we're waiting for right here, and then we're going to go up. We're going to come back with him at the second advent. And that's when that battle of Armageddon happens and all the rest of that stuff. What they're saying on some of these YouTube goofballs and whatnot right now, they're talking about Gog and Magog. I showed you this morning, that's Revelation chapter 20. That is not happening till the end of the tribulation period, because when the Lord comes here, he binds Lucifer for 1,000 years. At the end of the 1,000 years, he comes up and he goes, deceives all kinds of people on the earth and tries to attack the New Jerusalem, and the Lord calls down fire from heaven and burns the whole thing up. obliterates the existing planet. That's, I think, 2 Peter or 1 Peter. I think it's 2 Peter. Burns the whole, the elements melt with a burning, with a fervent heat. And there's the whole world standing naked and open before God, boom, at the great white throne judgment. And then we go off into eternity future. You see the difference? So I don't like what's happening in Europe. Could be World War III, according to Trump, you know. Right or wrong, I have no idea. I don't know what's going to happen the next few days, the next week, months, and years. But I do guarantee you this. It ain't the tribulation. And I'll also guarantee you this. If it is, it doesn't matter because we're going out before the tribulation hits. Before the great tribulation hits. So either way, Christian, don't let yourself get all worked up. You're supposed to be comforted with these words. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Stick with the Lord. Walk with Jesus Christ. Worry about your personal relationship with Him. And recognize we are looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Don't let anybody talk you out of the fact that Jesus is coming to get you out of here. Don't let anybody talk you out of that. Don't let the news, don't let anything else shake you, make you rattled in mind. Keep your heart calm. Do you hear me? Keep your heart calm. Gas prices. Okay, let's be honest. Let's all just be honest together since we're in church anyways and God sees us. You know, we always should be honest, but church makes it a little more scary. So let's be honest. Anybody feel a little stressed or a little negative thoughts about gas prices? Like, oh, okay, thank you for your honesty. A little bit. I mean, you know, it's like, man, we got all these vehicles now, and it's like, you know how many people were rushing to the pumps? You know, I was almost empty yesterday, and I was like, I ain't waiting in that line. Why? It's going to stress me out sitting in that line. What if the prices go up by tomorrow? Had that thought, so then they go up by tomorrow, I'm going home. I got enough gas to make it home. I'm going to do what I normally do. Why? Because I don't want to be troubled and shaken in mind. I got a great God. Jesus promised He'd supply all my need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And when I got Him, I got everything that I need. I'm not going to let it stir me all up. Yeah, you're a little bit worried, but what about if this is a third world war? Anybody be honest, okay, just be honest. Anybody a little bit rattled, kind of like a little maybe stress feeling about like possibly an inflation, recession, what's going on? I had them thoughts, thank you. I had them thoughts, appreciate your honesty. Oh no, what's this going to do to the markets and what are we going to do, what about our jobs? And don't let it get to you. Why? We're looking for our blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. I was talking to a friend of mine and he said he heard somebody called him, and I know I'm going to be getting these calls. I'm not trying to be a jerk, but I know they're coming, and I don't want to discourage them, so I should probably be careful about the way I say things, but I want people to call, you know, when they need help. But he's already getting calls. Do you hear that they're sending medications out for nuclear poisoning, and oh, my goodness, they're, you know, spreading it out, and it's like, yeah, maybe they are. What are you going to do about it? To me, it's sort of encouraging if they are. Oh, good. Glad to hear it. Why? Be nice to know that they see it coming. And if they're sending out, you know, medications to hospitals to be ready, that also means the military's ready. And they're watching real close. And they probably got some Navy SEALs over there, some young guys that could care if they live or die. They're going to go over there and do something cool. Amen. Kill somebody or something. They're probably over there doing their job. What do you do? Pray for them. They're watching. You know, Russia has intercontinental... Folks, Russia's having a hard time whooping Ukraine's hind end, all right? You know, they got a long way to go to get over here. Could they start launching nukes and all this? They might. What are you going to do about it if they do? I told my friend, which I wasn't preaching at him, we were just talking because somebody had called him about it. He and I were talking. I said, you know what? If it happens, everybody is in the same boat. We're all in the same boat together. So what are we going to do about it? Don't let them trouble you and shake you in mind. Please don't be watching this stuff and letting them get in your head, because they're going to, look, some of them guys are really smart. They're going to lay out arguments and lay all this stuff out in Gog and Magog, and they're going to take you to Daniel and Revelation and show you stuff, and you're going to go, oh, that's really good. And they're going to try to make it make sense, but that's how Lucifer works. He'll take truth. He'll make sure that it makes sense to you, and it'll get you to bite, and then before you know it, you're doubting whether or not you're really going out in a rapture. I believe, still today, and as far as I know, by the grace of God, Paul said, but though we are an angel from heaven, so you got to be careful about talking too tough, but by the grace of God, I want to die, if he hasn't come yet, believing in the premillennial, pre-tribulation return of Jesus Christ, the rapture of the saints, because I believe that's Bible, and I think the two things are so clearly different, they can't be the same. All right? And, you know, if I don't die, because we go up in a rapture, I'll be like, yes, I knew it! And you'll all be like, yes, we knew it too! Praise the Lord, man, I want to go. I'm ready to go. But I don't think that those two things are the same. They can't possibly be. All right, we'll stop right there. It's already 2 o'clock. Sorry I took so much longer than I expected, but hope that helps. Hope some of you maybe got something you don't usually have. Those of you that already know it, be nailed down in it. Don't get wishy-washy on your doctrine, all right? Let's pray. Father, I love you tonight.